Welcome back to In Depth with Academia. I'm Richard Price, founder and CEO of Academia IDU. Thanks for joining me today as take a deep dive into a fascinating case study published in 2024 in Case Reports in Clinical Medicine. Now, before we get started, just a reminder, I'm here to present academic research in a neutral way. I'm definitely not endorsing, criticizing, or otherwise passing judgment on the paper. But I do think research like this gives us fresh insights to ponder in our daily lives. Today, we're looking at a paper authored by Brock Futrell, Christopher Alexander Malaya, Dacia Martinez-Diaz, Christian Alfaro, Hannah Elizabeth Gustafson, Supalakshmi Chandrasekaran, Ria Mohan Fatak, Bernhard Suter, and here's the core author I want to highlight, Chuck Lane. The paper is titled Quantifying Kinematic Tremor in an NGLY1 Deficient Individual, a Case Study. So, what's the big question this paper tries to answer? Well, at its heart, it tackles a pretty specific yet intriguing issue. Can researchers actually quantify the kind of tremor that occurs in people with NGLY1 deficiency? That probably raises a second question for you. What even is NGLY1 deficiency? And why does it matter? NGLY1 deficiency is a super rare genetic disorder. Fewer than 100 recorded cases. One hallmark is movement difficulties that go well beyond what most of us ever encounter. We're talking tremors, uncontrolled or excessive movements, and coordination challenges that can seriously disrupt daily tasks. The literature suggested some people with this condition experience tremors, but surprisingly, nobody had really measured these tremors in a rigorous, laboratory-based way before. So why is this important for you or for anyone, really? Well, understanding tremors, when and how they happen, and how severe they are, can make a huge difference in diagnosing, managing, and maybe even treating movement disorders down the road. And that's not limited to people with NGLY1. It could help inform approaches to other neurological conditions. Let's talk about what the researchers set out to do. They recruited a single participant with NGLY1 deficiency and observed a whole series of arm-reaching tasks. Think reaching for a pen or a ball, stuff many of us take for granted. But for this individual, every movement was a challenge. To get objective data, the team used a high-tech 16-camera motion capture system with markers on the hands to track every tiny movement. The raw motion data. Just imagine it, all those numbers streaming in. They ran it through custom MATLAB scripts, performing what's called a fast Fourier transformation. Sounds fancy, right? But basically, what it does is break down the movements into their core frequencies, so you can see if there's a repeating tremor in there and what its strength looks like. So, what did they find? Well, they found that, yes, the participant did, in fact, have a persistent tremor in both hands during all tasks and movement planes. On average, the tremor frequency was about 2.3 hertz, a kind of slow, rhythmic shake. For those who are visualizing this at home, and it showed up whether the hand was reaching or just holding still. Maybe a little surprising, the non-reaching hand, especially the left, sometimes had slightly stronger tremor characteristics than the reaching hand. That hints at some interesting brain asymmetries when planning or focusing on movement. Though, I mean, we've got just this single participant, so no big conclusions, right? Just to remind you again, I'm presenting these findings in a totally neutral way. I'm not telling you this is the definitive answer or even the answer. It's just a puzzle piece in how we think about movement disorders. What does this mean for you? Well, maybe you're interested in genetics or neurology, or you have a loved one experiencing movement difficulties. This paper highlights how even small studies, like literally a study with one person, can offer meaningful clues. It pushes us to ask, how can technology, even in its most advanced forms, help us see things our eyes can't? How do we keep pushing for more robust and larger studies? And just as importantly, it tells us to be cautious. One person's experience can illuminate, but it can't define a condition. The authors themselves are clear about limitations. This is data from just one person, so we can't say it applies to all people with NGLY1 deficiency. But it's a start. They suggest more work, studying other body parts, collecting MRI data, and, well, just getting more participants, which could help doctors better diagnose and treat these complex rhythms in our bodies. And, you know, this whole thing makes me think of that old saying, what gets measured gets managed, except, I actually can't remember who said that. Anyway, that's just a random side note and totally irrelevant. But yeah, so to wrap up, this paper, led by Chuck Lane and team, shows that with some creativity and some perseverance, you can get valuable info from even one case. It's more evidence that research doesn't hand us absolute truth, but gives us questions to ask, tools to use, and hopefully a sense of direction as we try to make sense of complex conditions. Thanks for letting me share this with you today. I'm Richard Price, and this is In Depth with Academia, where we explore research, reflect, and maybe nudge you to be just a bit more curious about the marvelous, mysterious human body. Catch you next time.